The Prentice Alta Heating and Air Coach's Corner from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and GoPrimetimeSports.com.
And we welcome you back in to the Prentice Alsop Heating and Air Coach's Corner. We're at the Cedar Bucket Restaurant this morning and talking to media mogul Philip Shadowins of the Blackman Blaze. 2-0 after their 38-14 win over Pearl Cone last night. Coach, good morning to you.
Media mogul, that's me. The charismatic. The way in which I speak on the radio was truly a gift, isn't it?
Well, you know, I tell you,
it's a joke. It's 104.5 this morning.
It's been a lot of years, hasn't it, that you have done this thing, and some like it, some embrace it, some don't, but still come anyway, you know, and I think it's an outlet. What we try to do is give coaches an outlet to highlight their program and their kids. Some don't necessarily take it that way. Maybe it's more serious to others. I don't know. It is high school football, after all.
Right. It's high school football. It's not none of us are doing brain surgery. We're not talking about those kind of important things. We're talking about high school football and a bunch of 15, 16, 17-year-old kids and either the kids, which are probably all still sleeping, but their parents think it's pretty neat to get to talk about their kid on the radio. And I think it's just part of Rutherford County High School football, which is a big deal here.
It most definitely is. You took on a team last night where I'm not sure that if football is a big deal or what is a big deal. When you take on those metro schools, I mean, you had a great Blackman crowd and certainly did not pull a very good Pearl Cone crowd, but kind of what you expect, I guess.
It is, and it's a shame because and I think that's probably why Pearl Cone agreed to schedule us and come to our place 2 years, plus, you know, number one, we pay them. But number two, I think they want to put their kids in fun environments. And I've always said that, and you've heard me say it numerous times because we've been talking for a bunch of years, but high school football is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And part of the environment of Friday night is a neat deal for kids to live through. They only get to do it one time because most don't go in and play college football. So they only get that experience one time. And for kids from Pearl Cone, they get to come in there and see that kind of crowd where the home bleachers are completely packed. There's people standing around the fences, all those kind of things. That's neat for them to play in.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're not going to get that at home.
No, they're not going to get that at home. I mean, they may get a few more of their crowd at home, but not too many more. And, I mean, they'll play in front of, you know, 400 or 500 people. And then last night you get, you know, 3,000 or 4,000. I don't know how many people were there, but it looked like 3,000 or 4,000 people there. And so that's a good environment for them. And then when things went good for them, you know, they kind of responded to our crowd. The players played to our crowd like they see on TV in college football, I guess, you know. And so that's a good environment for their kids and honestly, a great environment for ours.
Well, kind of they were very athletic, kind of pesky bunch last night. And, you know, they had some depth, had some real depth like you did. Could have been a little different game.
Could have been. I thought they played really well in the first half. I thought when we had chances to put the thing away early, we didn't. And I mean, they might not have gone away anyway, but obviously opening drive, we return open kickoff to the 10-yard line, snap one 18 feet over a quarterback's head on the first play of the game. On the second play of the game, we throw a pick. Well, that's a terrible way to start. What should have been 7-0, you know, obviously became they get the ball, you know. And
right.
We held them and went down and drove and scored with the ball the next time. But I thought throughout the first half that when we had chances to do great things, put the game away, you know, kind of encourage them that, hey, it's going to be the same way it was last year kind of stuff. We didn't do it, you know, and I was disappointed in that. I thought we lost our focus a little bit, and I thought we kind of lost our way defensively there a little bit in the first half. And everybody wanted to know last night what we do at halftime, what kind of adjustments we make. We didn't make any. I mean, we didn't have to make any adjustments. It's do what you're supposed to do and, you know, play hard and play physical and, you know, don't go all haywire because they hit a play occasionally, which they're going to with those kind of athletes. And we went back and did that, and I thought our kids regained focus and then kind of decided, okay, we got to play like Blackman instead of whoever that team was in the first half. And we did that, and you know, we're able to put the game away. But certainly got to clean some things up. You know, I thought we progressed from week zero to week one in some ways, but in some other ways I thought we lost some focus, which I don't like to see.
Well, another one of those drives, you know, was settled for a field goal when you had a great opportunity there to go up 21-0. And then tell me about the kick. Was the you know, they get the ball at the, you know, 55 yards to go, right there toward the end, a minute or
that,
so to
that
go.
That was good coaching there. That was good coaching.
I thought, and John and we all talked about, hey, this is a great idea if you get the ball back, because you would think your defense with just a minute 16 would be able to hold right there.
Right, I play with a lot of, I mean, I have a lot of confidence in our defense. Yeah. We're doing defensively and the way our kids are playing. And the expectation is, I mean, obviously if you can't play defense, you can't do that. But we're going to make you defend the whole field on kickoffs. I mean, you know, we're going to make you defend it all. And if you get out of position, we're going to take advantage of that. And we tried to do that last night. Our kicker didn't execute it, you know, for one. And so we gave them the ball on their own 45-yard line with a minute and 15 left, which in hindsight, I should have kicked the thing deep and gave it to them on the 25 and made them drive. But I expect our defense to step up. I don't want to have to play scared. I mean, I want to be able to do whatever I think they're allowing us to do and take advantage of that opportunity. We're not going to play scared, and I expect our defense to come on the field and stop us.
Yeah.
And stop the opponent. And we didn't do that, and it was just missed assignments, not doing what you're supposed to do, not squeezing when you're supposed to squeeze or getting upfield in a rush, taking outside of your rushing lane and letting them scramble, which happened a few times last night. And but it was good for us. You know, I mean, I was glad ProCon went no huddle and tempoed us some. And it's not the same tempo we'll face this week with Siegel, but at the same time, they tempoed us. We practiced a bunch against that for Independence because we thought they were going to really try to tempo us because we had heard they were, but they didn't. ProCon has never tempoed anything that I've seen since Brunetti's been down there, and then last night they came out and tried to tempo us. So that was good for our kids to have to adjust on the run, and we'll see even a faster tempo, obviously, when we play Siegel Friday.
You know, it really wasn't first half versus second half, I thought. It was, you know, second quarter, third quarter, that
right.
You know, that was night and day. And probably you're not happy with the consistency of the second quarter.
No, I'm very displeased with that. You know, and I went back and looked at the video. Our kids played hard. I mean, they still played hard, you know, and we should never coach effort, which we don't have to. They play with effort. And our kids have a lot of pride. But, boy, we lost focus. And I thought we did it in a scrimmage game earlier in the fall, too. What we have to understand, and something like maybe we ought to understand it already, is that I don't care who you are. When you're not focused, you're not very good. You know, when you lose focus and forget about the little things you've been coached to do since day one, and you don't do that, then you can't be successful. And that was proven in the second quarter when we allowed them to score 14 points against us. That was ridiculous. And it all comes back to not doing the little things that you're coached to do, and it starts with losing focus, thinking the game is over. In our mind, in our kids' minds, the game should have been over at the end of the first quarter. We're way better than they are. And I don't know if we're way better than they are or not, but I mean, and I'm talking from our kids' perspective.
Right.
And when it's not completely over, or we get up two scores or whatever, it's 14-0, the game's over in our minds, and so we lose focus. You lose focus, you're not very good. And I think we learned our lesson based on what they said after the game, our kids said after the game. I think they learned our lesson. And it's great to learn lessons when you win instead of learning lessons sometimes when you lose. You know, we can be a great football team. I think our kids understand that, but we have to be consistent for 48 minutes. And last night we lost focus for about 12 of them, and it cost us.
Philip Shadowin's joining us this morning talking about Blackman football. They were a 38-14 winner. It was 17-14 at the half, so obviously great things happened in the second half. And, you know, their quarterback's pretty good quarterback, I thought, and really likes to run the ball, and you kind of held him in check there. But, you know, they had some really good athletes that you had to face. And so I think probably toward the end of the game, it was the depth, your depth, that really kind of wore on them. They didn't have the depth.
Well, I thought so, too. I thought our depth certainly paid off, and that's a difference in our size of schools, maybe. And that certainly helped us. It should never come down to that. When you jump on a team, you know, 14-0, technically the ball game should be over because we should be better than that. But I thought our depth in the second half helped us some. And I thought our kids just did the things we're asking them to do in the second half. They did it better. They were more fundamental, better technique, were exceptionally physical. And I thought being physical on both sides of the ball, I thought our run game was exceptionally physical in the second half too. And I thought by doing that on both sides of the ball, I thought that really contributed to them not having as much energy to play the game.
You know, you had a lot of kids carry the ball last night. Cole Knotgrass had over 100 yards. Mathers, Allen, Wilkerson. I mean, the list goes on. You kind of got a stable of backs back there.
I think we do. I mean, obviously, Cole, I think, had a little bit over 100 last night. That's what I was told last night. I haven't seen the stats this morning. I think D had 60, 65, and then Antonio with, you know, around 50 probably. And K.J. Wilkerson was the kid that was sick, and he didn't even dress out in the first half. And he has an upper respiratory infection, and it's a pretty good one. You know, he's on an inhaler and all that kind of stuff, and didn't like the way he felt before the game, didn't like the way he looked. So we, trainer and I, made a decision for him not to dress out, and he went in halftime. And the kids kind of got after each other. I mean, I went in there and talked to him, but before I even got in there, the kids were, you know, getting after each other about all the things we've done this offseason, how hard we've worked, and we just lost focus. And that was, you know, they were pretty upset with each other. I mean, not in a bad way, but they call each other out.
Challenging each other, yeah.
Which is what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And I look up, and KJ's got his pads on, and I look at the trainer and says, you know, he's okay. I looked at Dr. Johns. Dr. Johns said, yeah, he's fine. And his mom had already said he could play before the game, but I just chose for him not to dress out. So I look up, and he's got his pads on, and he goes out in the second half, and wow. I mean, he brought it up to another level. And that's, and I told him after the game in front of our team how proud I was, not because he played when he's sick. We all, you know, have to play when we're sick, but because he cared so much about his teammates that he brought another level to us there in the second half. And as a fullback, he had two or three lead blocks that were absolutely devastating. And had a sack on defense. And, you know, even though we just spotted him in the second half, we didn't let him play a ton. But that's what we expect. That's what we want from our kids, to buy in where it's all about our team and never about the individual. And we have a group of kids that are committed to each other. And when that happens, good things can happen to you.
Well, man, you've got the – it's almost like a green light. You know, coach says I can't play, whatever. I mean, you could kind of sack it up if you wanted to, but he wanted to come in there in the second half and help his team to a victory. That says a lot.
It does say a lot. And he didn't show up and say I'm going to play a few plays, but he came in and made a big difference. He was a difference maker for us. And so that was good. I was really proud of Cole last night. I thought Cole ran the ball exceptionally well.
Yeah.
Did some really good things. And then defensively, you know, nobody sees this stat because you can't see it live. You know, you don't have TV replay like they do in college. But Mason Bear last night on defense.
You took my next question.
Uh-oh. I'm going to steal it from you. He had an interception.
Yep.
Recovered a fumble. And then cost a fumble on one of their punt returns. He came in and put his hat on the ball and cost a fumble. So responsible for three turnovers himself. Big time. I mean, that's big time stuff. You know,
we also had him with about four or five tackles. You know,
absolutely played physical. Was great in coverage all night long. So good to see him have that kind of game for us and step up, and make big plays for us. And you know, and then I probably need to mention Chris Lilly. You know, had a couple catches. But as a punt returner, was in all our return game, was pretty dynamic. Obviously, we turned one for a touchdown. They called it back because of an illegal substitution, which is not the way the rule reads. But that's okay. I mean, it's not okay. I mean, but anyway, we had 11 on the field. It wasn't an illegal substitution. He was standing. I mean, anyway, that's neither here nor there. But had a great return that got called back. But yet I thought was really good in the return game all night long, kind of changed the field for us. I thought our special teams, with the exception of not executing some things on kickoff team, I thought our special teams by far, you know, helped us win the football game, cost a couple turnovers there, flipped the field numerous times. And that's something every week we try to preach about, how the special teams has to be a winner. You know, every Friday night, we got to win that part of the game, and I thought last night we certainly did.
Mason Bear is actually our Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance player of the game.
I did steal the thunder
in the game last night. I really thought that he kind of set the tempo for the defense last night. When maybe you struggled a little bit at times, he was the one who was kind of there. He was the go-to guy.
He was, and made big plays for us. You know, that interception came when our first drive in the second half. We drove all the way down the field and fumbled the football on like the 10-yard line or whatever. You know, we're finding ways not to score right now in the red zone, and which is ridiculous. But we can't help. We got home on the football. We can't fumble the daggum football. But Mason came right back and made a great interception on over the shoulder catch on a go ball or a fade ball, whatever you want to call it, and made a great catch for us right there. Got us the ball back at our own 40 or 45, and we were able to go down and score fairly quickly, kind of put the game away, so to speak. But yeah, I thought he was a huge difference maker. Mason's had a great offseason of hard work and done a lot of good things for us. So was proud to see him step up and make some big plays for us last night.
Well, Philip, it's no longer a team out of Metro or a team out of Williamson County that you face this coming Friday night. You will host the Siegel Stars district play, the first district game of the season. And I'm sure you know a lot about Siegel, and they know a lot about you, and it's a great county rivalry game.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's the case with everybody in our county. Obviously, we know a lot about each other, and so it'll be a fun game. It'll be a huge crowd there, and you know, it's you know, we talk about it every year, but it's one of those great high school atmosphere kind of games. You know, we'll have standing room only there. Siegel will come bring all their fans. We'll bring all ours. And then a lot of the common fans will come, too, just that are fans of high school football. And so it'll be one of those deals. You better get there early, and it'll be a big old crowd, and it should be a great high school football game. Obviously, they're dynamic offensively, and with all their weapons, we all know that. And they've scored 100 points and over 100 points first 2 weeks, which says a lot, especially when one of those weeks is without your starting quarterback. So we know that. We know it's going to be a challenge, and but yet our kids are, you know, looking forward to it. That's, you know, everybody want to talk about that this week. Not our kids, but as far as reporters and fans and all that want to talk about Siegel this week, and I'm thinking that don't make any sense to me, you know. And I told our kids that on about Tuesday when I'd been asked about 8 times about Siegel, and I thought, Lord have mercy, I can't concentrate for 2 weeks on one team. I want to focus on Pearl Cone. And so that's fun. I mean, but to be honest with you, it's not even more important than Pearl Cone is. Because
the way
the playoff system works, you know, I mean, Siegel's the next game, so it's really important. But it's not any important than this past week's game was. And that's the way we view it as coaches. That's the way we impress our teams to view it. I mean, you know, obviously they're a county rivalry. We know their kids. Our kids know our kids and all that kind of stuff. But it's not any more important than this past week was, and it won't be any more important than next week will be, because they're all of equal importance based on playoff system now. So, and that's what we're all playing for. I mean, you know, district championships and all those things are great, but we're all playing for the playoffs. And so even though we like to talk about the county rivalries, which are hugely important, it's not more important than any other game on our schedule anymore because of the way they do it. So, but it will be fun, and our kids do look forward to these kind of games. Their kids look forward to these kind of games, and you know, it's just something about, you know, playing kids that are 10 miles away or whatever, and kids you grew up with and all that kind of stuff, and played baseball with and little league football with and all those kind of things. So it'll be fun. It'll be a great atmosphere, and it'll certainly take a great effort on our part to compete with them.
Well, you know, going in, you have to play these games knowing that it's 6-4 or better to make the playoffs, you know, and whether it's number one or two, you'd obviously like those first two spots because that guarantees you playoff spot. But, I mean, every game is important. If you let one slip, that might be the one that keeps you in or out. And that happened to Siegel 2 years ago.
Right. It does happen. And so that's why these non-district games are so tough. And so, and with us struggling to find games, and Siegel and everybody else, Riverdale and all them people, just, you know, struggling to find games where people play you. You know, I mean, he ain't got to drive across the country, which Riverdale's doing today, you know, and we do a couple times in Chattanooga. And, you know, after Siegel, we go to Chattanooga 2 out of 3 next week, you know. So it is, you know, every game is important. Certainly this one is an important game, and it's a fun game. And this is one of those you don't have to, you know, you don't feel like you got to do much motivating, you know, because our kids will be motivated. I mean, there'll be a little bit of a crazy air around the school there because the kids will be excited about playing Siegel. And, I mean, as far as the student body goes, and our football team will be excited about playing Siegel. And, you know, you'd like to be tested. I mean, you'd like to play against good people. They're obviously good, and everybody knows that. And so it'll be a good challenge for us, and it'll be a game that's fun.
Well, have a big time there at the Inferno. I'm sure there'll be a lot of folks there enjoying the football game. Standing room only, get there early, tailgate. Got a great facility to be able to do that. It was fun to be there last night, Philip. 38-14 win over the Firebirds of Pearl Cone. Both of y'all 2-0 going into next week's game.
2-0 going into next week. One of us will be 3-0, and one of us will be 2-1, and you know, hopefully we're the one that's got the 3 wins. But it's going to be a great atmosphere, great fun, and we got to get ready to have a great week of practice. And I know our kids are excited about that.
Well, we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thank you, buddy.
Philip Shadowin's joining us here from the Cedar Bucket Restaurant. The guy who also wants to be 3-0 after next week is Greg Wyatt of the Siegel Stars. He's going to be in with John Dinkins coming up here in just a moment as we continue the Prentice Alsop Heating and Air Coach's Corner. Stay with us as we continue.